Hello, beauties. Welcome to my show, Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health. I'm your host, Kim Billick. I'm a women's empowerment and sexual health coach, Reiki master, yoga therapist, and occupational therapist. This podcast is going to be raw and juicy. And yes, we'll be talking about all things women's health uncensored. We'll be talking about periods, hormone health, sex, pleasure, pregnancies, all those things that may be going on down there that are making you feel uncomfortable. Anything that you may be feeling scared or ashamed to talk to your doctor about, your partner, your girlfriend, let's just consider this podcast Real Girl Talk. Be sure to check me out on Instagram at kimbillick_ or my website www.amala-living.com. Hello, beauties. Welcome back to my show, Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health Uncensored. So get comfortable because today it is going to get hot in here and nice and juicy. I have Zaria Menezes with me and I'm going to let her explain what she does because you definitely want to hear. Take it away, girl.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome. I'm so excited to be here and talk about all the juicy things we're going to talk about. First of all, my name is Zaria Menezes, as you already mentioned, but I am also known as the Pussy Fairy, and I work with couples and women and moms to just reignite that juicy pleasure back into the bedroom, back into their bodies, back into their sex life. So I am a sex and relationship coach, and so I get to work with all things pleasure, all things orgasms, and all things love.
Ah, I love that. And that's why I said, ladies, it's going to get hot and juicy in here today. Yeah. So I know I've had like a tantra coach on here before. So this is going to be a little bit different. And as we were talking when we connected last week, I feel like a question I get asked about quite often is like, how do I get my sex drive back? And of course, yes, I talk about the hormonal side, but I would love to know like what your thoughts are and what you do and how you work with your clients when they come to you and you're like, I just lost my mojo. Like I don't have no drive left.
Yeah. This is such a common thing to happen. And I think even just talking about normalizing, right? Having our sexual desires and our sex drives look like something that is more cyclical, not something that is a constant, like turned on state, because our society loves to glamorize us being in the peak of our sexuality and our turn on all the time. It's like something that is this weird unspoken thing that you're supposed to be horny and turned on and like juicy wet 24/7, which realistically, let's just talk about that for a minute. Realistically, that is not sustainable. And yes, of course, we want to be turned on all the time, but there are really, really important parts of having a low libido and just like a more quiet time in your sexuality. But if you are in like a quiet phase of your sexuality and you're wanting to get your mojo back, it does not mean that there aren't so many things that you can do to kind of get out of it and to wake your libido up. But understanding that there are different types of seasons in your sexuality and seasons in your desire and your libido and turn on can be a really, really beautiful and helpful concept to understand why your libido might be at a more quieter phase in your life. So if you're at a stage where you want to get your libido back, right? Also looking at what is actually happening in your life, because a lot of the times our low desire, low libido has a lot to do with what's happening in our life, because we like to isolate sex and think that it's something that just happens in the bedroom. But realistically, it's a huge integral part of our life. And there's also other aspects to our sexuality, right? Like in order to feel like you're sexually thriving, you need to have like a connection to your emotional health, your mental health, physical health, like things that are happening in your life, right? Maybe there's a big major changes that are happening in your life, like having children or taking a new medication or a new crazy job, right? There could be a lot of reasons, even just like relationship stuff, right? You're holding on to a lot of resentment. Obviously, you're not going to want to have sex with your partner, right? So there's a lot of elements that we have to take into consideration when it comes to looking at low libido. And as you mentioned before, hormones can also be one of those big things, right? So when we're looking at that, it's important to take all of those external factors into consideration. And if you're feeling just low libido and you feel like you haven't gotten out of your this rut where you're just feeling like you don't want to have sex, don't even touch me, don't breathe my way, like I'm tired. It's the easiest way to get back into your groove is to look at the things that you were actually doing and look at the things that you were feeling when you were in a higher libido stage or when your desire was a little bit more juicy and yummy, right? Chances are you're not doing a lot of those things right now in your life, right? It's like when we start to neglect our external things that make us feel good or give us space to feel good or take away some of that emotional stress and things like that, it actually really helps to get us back into a space where we're even receptive to our sexual desire, right? Because sexual desire is like one of the first things that tends to just like disappear and go on the shelf when we're not taking care of ourselves.
Wow, that was such a good explanation. And I love how you're bringing in so many different elements to it. And it's just like not one thing, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting how you say like sexual desire is like kind of the first thing to go, because something my tantra coach always used to say is your brain is your biggest organ or, you know, yeah, if you want to say organ, for your orgasms, right?
Absolutely.
So if you're stressed and you're, you know, not in a good place with your partner, or you're thinking about your huge long to-do list, you're not going to be in a state of wanting to get down and, you know, have some fun in the bedroom, right?
Absolutely.
And I also love that you say that there's seasons, because a lot of times with the hormones and our cycles, I always talk about seasons, right? Mm-hmm. There is a time during ovulation where we're going to probably feel, most of us are going to feel more turned on and have more of a sex drive, whereas before the time of our bleed, when our hormones are at our lowest, we might not feel that we have that drive. And it's because our estrogen and our testosterone are at their lowest. But do you notice if there's anything else that really affects seasons aside from, I mean, big things, like you said, stress, new job, moving, but is there any patterns that you commonly see with clients that affect seasons?
I think for the most part, it is just like, if we're talking from like an emotional, mental place, it's usually like the emotional aspect in the relationship. Or another huge thing is accountability, right? A lot of the times it's so easy for us to think about sex as something that is natural and it just happens. And this is true to a certain extent. Like, obviously sex is natural and yes, it can just happen, but it doesn't mean that we don't have to put any effort into keeping that like juicy spark alive within ourselves and our relationship, right? Like there's this thing out there that just makes us think that we don't actually have to take accountability for our sex life. When once we step into taking charge of our sex life, or once we actually step into the driver's seat of our sex life, right? Because sometimes things can just seem super passive and we can just love to sit in the passenger seat when it comes to our sex life. And we're just like waiting for it to happen. And then if our partner doesn't do it, then we're not initiating. And then it's just like quiet.
And then you're not having sex.
Yeah, then you're just not having sex. Like, we're just putting the responsibility to our partners, right? And so this is where it can get really easy to fall into. And then you fall into a kind of rut where nobody's asking each other, and then it doesn't happen for a long time. And then maybe what can happen is one has a higher libido and one has a lower libido, and then both can feel rejected because the one person with the higher libido is just feeling like they don't know when to ask, or they don't want to ask because they don't want to hear no. And the other person is just like feeling guilty because they have to say no, because they're not, you know, those things happen all the time. So it's one of those things that, yes, we have to absolutely recognize that there is an emotional component to that as well. And taking accountability for your own sexuality and just, you know, getting into the driver's seat and being like, hey, I'm actually the one who's fully in charge of my pleasure. I'm the only one who can get my desires met in the bedroom. And I'm also the one who can get myself out of a low libido state from an emotional state, right? What are the things that I can do to support myself emotionally, physically, so that I can get back into the groove?
Yeah. I like the whole accountability thing. I think back to a friend of mine, actually, someone in my personal life was talking to me about it and in a, you know, married and stuff. And I was like, you actually have to schedule in like a sex night, you know, and put some effort into it. And, you know, and I know you might be busy with work, but it could start with sexy text messages before you see each other and, you know, get that fire going before you see each other. And then by the time you see each other, yeah, you might not need as much time because you're ready for each other type thing. So it's really just thinking outside the box and having a little bit of fun with it as well.
Absolutely. And I think that like one of those things that is so incredibly important is the aspect of little moments of intimacy throughout your day, right? So many of the times people are just coming home from work, they've had a busy day, they're putting the kids to bed, or they're doing like a work project, and then it's 10 p.m. and you're just about to go to bed. And then you're like, oh my God, we haven't had sex in like a month. Let's just do it. And then you try and have sex right away. And then you go to bed and you're like, wow, that I could have really done without that. But it's like, that is the first point of contact that maybe you've had at the end of the day, right? And so sometimes it's interesting because a lot of women wonder like, oh my gosh, why am I not coming to orgasm? Like, why am I not feeling so fucking turned on? Why am I not having a full body orgasm after like two times penetration? But like, if we think about it, our bodies are not machines. And second of all, we are showing up to sex with so much expectation, but there's also like not a lot of connection before. And it can be so easy to just like want to skip foreplay and want to skip giving our bodies that time to actually really deeply drop into sex. And women are wondering like, oh my, is something wrong with me? Like, why am I not wet? What's happening here? Why am I not turned on? Like, why am I not having all these orgasms like in the movies? But the expectations that we set on ourselves are so, so, so high. And so, yes, absolutely. Doing those little moments of intimacy throughout the day. And then also integrating some foreplay, right? And also just understanding that keeping your sexuality and that connection and that mojo alive doesn't always have to do with sex. Like, you can actually create such a deep intimacy without having to have sex to keep that spark alive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So even just like scheduling, I don't know, in the morning before you wake up, setting like a timer and doing like 6 minutes of like a juicy kiss. Maybe you want to brush your teeth, maybe you don't, but just setting the timer to just be like super intimate with each other, right? And then maybe before bed, connecting with your partner, significant other, whatever, and just asking them, okay, each of us get 10 minutes. What is it that you need to make the day feel complete? And then one person just gets to be like, ooh, okay, I feel like I need a juicy like shoulder rub to make the day feel complete. Or I feel like I just really want to share about my day and just have a conversation where you're so present with me, right? Like, those are all the things that add to feeling connected, that add to the intimacy, that add to keeping your libido alive. It's not just about like sex, because a lot of the times it's like, okay, we're having sex or we're not doing anything at all, right? It's like people just love to separate it. And I think just even as a society, right? It's like either you're having sex or you're not having sex. And so all of those things in between that like make our relationships and our sex life and like just keep that fire alive are, I would say, even just more important than the actual sex.
I was thinking that as you were talking about that. I'm like, that's the stuff, that's the important stuff that's going to make the actual act of sex even yes. that much more passionate and so much more pleasurable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and I heard you, you know, you're talking about like having accountability for your pleasure and for your sex life. And some listeners may not be in a relationship right now, right? Mm. So whether we're in a relationship or not, how can us women take accountability for our own pleasure, our own sex life, and even some women that are single. I could think of someone in my personal life as well that I've had this conversation with, and just has no sex drive.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Like, I'm sure you get some of those clients coming to you as well.
Oh, 100%, right? And there is a way that we can connect to our sexuality in our own way, right? It doesn't have to look like the other person. It doesn't mean that you now have to just like be turned on all the time and just like, right? It can be subtle. And so I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to those sexual seasons, because this can be a really beautiful insight to understand and then reconnect with your sexuality. So let's think about dividing our sexuality and our sexual drive and our sexual desire into sexual seasons, just like winter, summer, spring, and fall. And so when you are in a winter stage of your sexual season, things are just more quiet. They're more subtle. You're maybe not experiencing like a lot of desire. This could be like classified as like the low desire time in your sexuality. Maybe spring comes and you're starting to feel things like wake up a little bit, and it feels like, okay, I'm moving out of winter and things are starting to bubble up, and I'm starting to maybe feel a little bit of desire and excitement, and I'm feeling maybe a little bit more awake in my body, right? That's spring. And when we talk about summer in our sexual seasons, it's like when you're super turned on, you're just wanting sex all the time. Maybe you're self-pleasuring more. Maybe you're feeling really good in your body. Maybe you're even finding yourself more orgasmic or more sensitive in your body. This is like peak desire, right? And then fall is almost like a slowing down of summer, right? You're starting to prepare for winter. You're noticing things are slowing down a little bit. And so when we're categorizing these four seasons, can come and look any way for any person. So sometimes your sexual winter can last months. Sometimes it can be like a week. Sometimes your summer can last a really, really long time. And sometimes spring can be a really short time. So this is really depending on where your cycle is, what's happening in your life. This can be dependent on anything, and it doesn't actually have to match up with the real seasons of the year. So whatever your seasons look like, you will notice a cycle that feels true to you. So tracking your libido and your desire can be something really fun to do to just kind of get an understanding of how your own sexual seasons work for you and if there's any other things that have an effect, right? And so when you are in a winter, right, of your low libido, low desire, think about things that can support you in a winter, right? A lot of the times when we're in low desire, we just think like, okay, well, I'm not turned on, so this means I don't really have to do anything for my sexuality. And then, as I said before, we just like brush it off, we put it in the corner, we forget about it. But if you think about what things feel really supportive in winter, like how would you want to take care of your sexuality in a sexual winter? Maybe you want more baths. Maybe you want like more massages. Maybe you want more like self-care. Maybe you really want to focus on what makes you feel good in your body, right? Maybe you want more nourishing foods. Like think about all of the things that you would love to feel in a sexual winter. And so if you're in a relationship, this doesn't mean that you don't have to experience like any sexual desire in a sexual winter, but you can adjust. Like you can let your partner know, okay, I'm in a winter right now. Like, let's work with it. How do I want to feel pleasure in my sexual winter? Maybe I just want massages, right? Maybe I just want you to kiss my neck and like tell me all the things that you love about me and my body, right? So you can adjust all of those things towards each sexual season. And if you are single, you're not with anyone, you can think about like, what does my body need in the sexual winter right now, right? And so the more we actually support our sexual seasons and the more we support our bodies throughout these sexual seasons, we will notice that there's a natural switch between all of those seasons, right? And if we notice that we're stuck in a season for a longer amount of time or just longer than what we would like, then we can look at the external factors in our life, or we can look at ways to wake up the body and think about, ooh, what do I like in spring? Maybe there's like other juicy elements that I want to invite, right? Like maybe there's something that I did when I was in a sexual summer that really woke my libido up. Or maybe I just need to hang out in winter for a little bit and support that and wait till the spring comes. But there's always like a little shift. And so the more we tune into our body, the more we get to notice these subtle shifts and invites, and then we get to support ourselves in a new season.
I just keep smiling as you talk about this, because I'm like, there is so much crossover of like what you're talking from the sexual standpoint. And I mean, it's all related. And what I talk about from the hormonal side.
I love this.
And even with the seasons and just like really connecting and how I feel, this is a big reason of why I created that book that I was telling you about last week, the Womb Wisdom Journal. And it's all about connecting with your womb, which is the house of our sexuality, our second chakra, our sacral chakra. And I specifically have the same question every day. How am I going to nourish myself physically, mentally, emotionally? And what am I going to do to love myself? And, you know, outside of it could be from a hormonal standpoint or what you're talking about from your sexual desires, you get to connect with these patterns and just see how we move through these seasons. So it's so beautiful to listen to you share this. And I'm like, yeah, I can totally. And I talk about this all the time. And I'm sure listeners have heard me speak about this. So thank you for sharing that.
I love that. I love that. That is so amazing. It is all connected, right? In so many different ways. There is so much connection and we are cyclical beings, right? So it only makes sense. And I love that you have a journal to just like jot everything down and just have the opportunity to actually have something to come back to every day, right? Because it is important to have that connection and to just prioritize ourselves and time with ourselves and our sexuality, right? And just being able to have something to journal that out in is really powerful.
Yeah. And well, and I created it for 3 months, right? So, so that you could really see how you shift maybe month to month, but even in those months, you're going through seasons as well, right?
Oh, 100%.
So if you're journaling now, you know, we're so busy with the holidays and in 2 months' time, you know, January, February generally, I feel like is a little bit of a quieter time for people. So you may notice this shift and this is great. And I just say like, it's a very beautiful way, journaling or not, just to take the time to connect with your body. And with that, I'd like to ask, do you have any practices for your clients of how they can really connect to their sexuality to so they could tap into these seasons, to these energies they're experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I recommend is really just taking some time to, it's like such a simple practice, right? If you have a pussy, you can just take some time to place your hand over your pussy and just do some deep breathing, right? Just even before you wake up in the morning, place your hand on your pussy and just cup your pussy and connect with her, right? Just ask pussy, what do you need today? What do you need today to feel supported? And maybe it's just like a little bit of breathing. Maybe it's just like a nice long warm bath. Maybe it's a self-pleasure session, right? There's so many things that we can do and our bodies are so wise. And I think a lot of the times we want to complicate it with so many practices. And I do have a shit ton of complicated practices, but it's so nice to just start with something super easy and super tangible and something that we can just continue, right? So in the morning before you wake up, just taking a few moments to tune into your body, tune in with your pussy, tune in with your breath, and just ask yourself, what do I need today to feel really connected, right? Like, what do you need, pussy? What do you need today? Right? She'll tell you.
She will. So, and that's one of your, because I have a similar practice like that too, that I give to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like pussy breathing and checking in. I mean, this is like such a simple practice, but it's so powerful because so much of the times we do not connect with our pussies. Maybe when there's something that's feeling off or we're just about to have sex or we're self-pleasuring and then that's it. Right? Like otherwise things are just quiet. And so connecting to your pussy, connecting to your sexuality can be such a powerful thing that you can just do in the morning, right before you wake up, right? Just connecting to your breath, connecting to your pussy and just feeling into your own body.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
So outside of, okay. So we talked about the connection. We talked about, you know, focusing on things that when your sex drive is higher, like when you go through that winter season to kind of reflect back and be like, okay, what was I doing? Where was I at when I had my summer season? Is there anything else that you have, any juicy tips that you have for women, whether they're in a relationship or not, that would help them get that sex drive back, get that desire back?
Yes, absolutely. So again, it's really about little ways of stoking the fire, right? Like, think about what are the things that you want to have around you when you are in a sexual summer, right? Think about your environment. Think about all of the things that you would like to feel in your body. Think about the things that you would wear in a sexual summer, right? Think about all of the things that actually really turn you on in a sexual summer, the connection that you want to have, right? There's a different energy that we bring in a sexual summer versus a sexual winter. And doesn't mean that one is better than the other. But if we want to like get out of our sexual winter and we want to feel turned on, right? Really start to invite some of those elements that you do have in a sexual summer into your life. Because maybe it's like your room, right? Your environment that you're in. You want to invite things that are connected to a sexual summer. So for me, when I'm in my sexual summer, I always have like fresh flowers in my bedroom and like my room is always mysteriously clean. But when I'm in a sexual winter, I have like things everywhere all over the place and like my windows are shut and I'm just like, things are just quiet. And so when I want to like pack, right, that sexual winter, I look at my environment first. Like, okay, obviously this is not turning me on visually just by looking at what's happening in my environment. I'm not going to want to have sex in a messy ass room with clothes all over the place and things that aren't like visually sparking pleasure in my life. So that's usually the first place I start, is like really creating an environment of pleasure around me so that like I just, you know, walk in the room with a different vibe, especially the bedroom. Very, very important. And then second of all is really stoking that connection with your own body, right? So really getting into some things that help you to get into your own pleasure first and foremost, right? So that could be self-pleasure, right? That could just be starting to wake up your own senses, right? Like connecting with your body, connecting with your pleasure and connecting with your own sexuality. Because a lot of the times we even neglect our self-pleasure practices or just even masturbation as a whole when we're feeling low libido. So just slowly waking up your own self-pleasure, because the more we actually self-pleasure and actually the more we have sex, the more of those hormones are going to be circulating in our body, because our body's like, bing, okay, I know what's happening. I can get behind this. So the hormonal part is also a really big part, as you know, as well. So just really getting back in connection with your own body, really getting in touch with what you need to support yourself, right? Whether that is more self-pleasure, whether you need to actually look at where your sexual turnoffs are happening in your life right now. Like, what are some of the things that are turning me the fuck off? What are the things that are drying up pussy, right? Sometimes we're not even taking time in the day to just like have to ourselves because it's a busy day. We're trying to cater to everyone else in our life. Like, you need to take time for yourself to actually listen and breathe with yourself, to actually get connected with your own sexuality and get connected with your own body. That's a really, really important part. And then last is the connection with your partner, if you have one, right? So really just connecting and connecting through intimacy rather than the pressure of actually having sex, and going from a standpoint, whether you're self-pleasuring or with a partner, is following your pleasure rather than the goal of sex or orgasm, right? So what would feel really good for me right now? Like, what is something that would feel pleasurable, right? Because now you're not like, okay, there's this looming pressure of having to have sex in the back of my mind or having to have an orgasm. You're actually just following what feels good. And so usually when we follow our pleasure, eventually one thing will lead to another. And then before you know it, you will be back on track with your libido.
Love it. Just so many things from the environment. And I just wanted to add something with that. If you are single, this is the feng shui side of things. And I like how you said bring flowers in, because I'll bring flowers into my room too.
Ooh, yes.
If you are calling in a partner and you're single, bringing two roses in.
Ooh.
Yeah, not one, because I've talked to people and they're like, I just have like one flower in my room. I'm like, no, if you're calling in a partner from a feng shui perspective, you want two roses in your room. So just a little side note there for you ladies.
Yes, this is amazing. I had no idea about that and I love it. I have like 10 flowers, so I don't know.
Well, that's fine.
calling it an orgy.
I mean, yeah, sometimes I have orchids, sometimes I have sunflowers, depends on my mood. But yeah, if you want two roses, if you're calling in that partner and manifesting and doing your sex magic and all that juicy stuff. So I know you talked about like the pleasure practice and stuff, and I do know some women initially are uncomfortable with it, or they're kind of just, there is still a lot of shame around self-pleasure practices, masturbation. So how do you have any advice, and how would you help someone navigate around that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things is when it comes to self-pleasure and masturbation is like we learn how to connect towards pleasure and masturbation and all of those things at a very young age, right? A lot of it has to do with our family, our environment, friends, society, whatever, right? And so what we learn about self-pleasure and what we learn about our bodies and how to connect to pleasure starts at a very young age. And so really being able to connect with how you want to actually feel now, because a lot of the times we don't actually update like how we used to feel about self-pleasure and what we've learned about it. And we just take that like old story into our life now. And it can be really, really hard to connect to our pleasure and our sexuality from that place, right? And so sometimes it's really good to just think about how you would want to feel towards self-pleasure and how you'd want to feel towards masturbation or just like pleasure and alone time with your own body, right? And if there are a lot of big blocks, I highly recommend, you know, looking for that support, because it is, there's so many more layers underneath, right? It's not something where you can be like, oh, I've carried so much shame around my pleasure for so many years and I'm just going to like get rid of it and one practice. Like, it's kind of a little tricky, right? So there might be some things underneath, some layers, and support is always so, so, so amazing to get. But if you are having a hard time connecting to your pleasure and you're feeling like feelings of shame, it can be really, really, really easy to just like, we think about big picture, right? Like we think about the big change, like, oh my gosh, maybe I have to just get into the self-pleasure practice and get into this masturbation. And I feel so ashamed around it. And I don't even know where to start. And I feel really disconnected from my pleasure. So when we think about big picture, it can be really, really overwhelming. So what I usually recommend is like starting out slow and really small, right? Just in small little increments and increasing them day by day or week by week or whatever feels good for you, right? So when we start to connect with our bodies and connect with self-pleasure, and there are aspects of shame, right? Think about laying down in your bed and just like slowly touching your skin, right? And if you notice a little bit of like weirdness or shame creep up, see if you can find a place in your body that does feel pleasure, right? That does feel like a sensation that feels yummy to you, and just really work on increasing those sensations of pleasure and increasing those sensations of aliveness, because you can actually hold feeling your shame and pleasure at the same time. Like we can hold more emotions at the same time. And so when we are used to thinking about one way, we just like imagine shame and we connect pleasure and shame together, right? And so when we try to cultivate like more feelings of pleasure and desire and maybe like compassion or acceptance or sensations, right? Things that feel good, we start to connect a new neuronal pathway in the brain that connects like, oh, okay, like time alone, touching my body is also connected to pleasure, not just to shame. And so just learning how to slowly, very, very, very slowly cultivate like different emotions as well in the body if we're feeling shame. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we can hold two emotions in the body at the same time.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the times we just feel like it's either one thing or nothing, right?
And as you're saying that, I was thinking like the shame, where do you feel that in your body?
Absolutely. Because it has a location.
Like, do you feel it in your chest? Okay. Then you get to reflect on that and be like, okay, where does this come from? Like you talked, like how you were brought up. Maybe it was an experience you had. Are you holding it in your stomach? Are you holding it in your womb? So really connecting to those sensations and connecting with your body too. So that's what I was like hearing and like thinking as you were speaking of that. So yeah, it is so beautiful. You can hold the two and it's creating that awareness. Are you guys hearing a bit of a pattern here? Creating awareness. Connecting with your body, creating a relationship, creating that awareness. So I have one more question here for you before we wrap this up. And I got moms that listen, and I know, you know, this is a common thing that comes up, and it's like, okay, I'm losing my sex drive. I'm having a hard time kind of distinguishing or separating. That's a better way to say separating between being a mom and being a lover still. And a lot of times the energy goes towards being mom, right? And I'm sure you're going to probably say some of the things you already said, like communication and creating that space, creating that time. But is there anything else that you have to help these women that are feeling this way, like this pull?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a big thing. And I'm a mom of two myself. So I've gone through this twice already. And that's why I'm so passionate about working with moms as well, because it is something that you go through, especially when you have a child. There is something that happens, or that you think happens, to your identity, where it actually feels so easy to shift into the motherhood identity. And a lot of the times it feels like your sexual, like liberated, juicy sense of womanhood has disappeared. And there are maybe some factors in your life that, you know, affirm that, like being tired as fuck after a long ass day and feeling all touched out. And maybe you're breastfeeding, so your, you know, hormones are really taking you on a trip. And maybe you just have no time because baby's waking up all sorts of hours at night, right? But there can be so many factors that actually contribute to you not feeling connected to your sexuality. And so this is a very, very normal phase, especially when the kids are really small. A really important thing here is to know that you can be a sex goddess and a bad bitch and super connected to your sexuality, and you can be a mother at the same time. Like, that is a 100% possibility. You can hold down both things, but it might look a little different than what you envisioned before, just because things are shifting. But it doesn't mean that you can't be a sex goddess, right? So it does require a little bit of deeper connecting to your sexuality. Like, I think motherhood is one of those things that it's an opportunity to allow you to actually connect deeper with your sexuality, because it's not just there 24/7, because there's a lot of other factors in your life, like exhaustion and kids and all the other things that are happening in your life. So connecting to your sexuality can be such a deep, juicy thing. And also, if you have small kids, it's okay. Like, it is okay to notice a little bit of a slowdown of your sexuality, but it doesn't mean that the fire is out, right? Like, it's just really about recognizing, okay, how can I actually make time for myself, right? How can I make time for my sexuality? And instead of just like completely wiping it off the list, because that's one of the things that can happen, is like, we feel exhausted, we feel super touched out, we feel like there's so much going on. And it's not that the sexual part of ourselves has disappeared, it's that we aren't actually taking time for ourselves and we're not prioritizing ourselves anymore.
I love that. And I think that's a common thing that happens with women, right? We're so used to giving, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the cup's empty from our end, right? Yes. So it's being open to receive and being like, okay, what do I get now? What's still going to give me pleasure? What's going to fill up my sexual cup? What's going to fill up, you know, my self-care cup?
Absolutely.
And you're not selfish for doing that.
Oh gosh, absolutely not. And it is hard. Like, as a mom, like, just being able to take that time for yourself, because maybe you want to take that time for yourself and maybe you feel like you deserve it, but there's so many other things that you're like, oh, I have to get all of these things done, right? But the fucking dishes can wait. I can tell you they'll be there tomorrow and the next day, and the laundry as well, and the mess, and like everything. It's just going to be like that forever. So take some time for yourself and create a non-negotiable. Like, I have a non-negotiable. I have a bath every night. I don't care if the kids are crying out in front of my bathroom. Like, my husband can deal. Like, you can deal with them I am having my bath. Like, there is a non-negotiable thing that I do every single day where I have time for myself. And as a mom, it is going to change your life to have a non-negotiable. Like, the world could be crashing behind that door, but like, take some time for you.
Loving it, and celebrating you for doing this.
Yes, it is. It's been the most powerful thing, is just like taking time for that non-negotiable and make it as juicy and luxurious as possible. Like, invite your senses, use the fucking expensive bath bomb. Like, just, just take everything that you can in richness and nourishment and time for yourself, right? Like, put your phone away. And really just give your body that time, because it makes such a huge difference to have that non-negotiable every day, because it feels like, okay, even if I'm just getting like 10 minutes, you are filling up your cup. And when you spend that time intentionally, right, it makes a huge difference. It's the same thing with relationships, right? Like, you can have a crazy busy day, but if you have that 10 minutes together with intentional connection and intimacy with each other, it makes a whole difference. It really, really, really does. Like, you don't even have to have sex, but you feel so deeply connected. And it's the same thing with ourselves. And we have to put ourselves on the pedestal as well, because it's so, so easy to forget that you are a priority, yes, especially as a mom.
I say that all the time. So thank you for really stressing that. And thank you, Azaria, for everything, all this juiciness that you have shared here today. I am loving this conversation. Is there anything else, that any final words you have for the listeners, and also let them know where they can find you?
Yeah. Okay. Let me think about this a little bit. Okay. So I think in terms of libido and intimacy and sex drive, it's so, so important to invite a little bit more spaciousness into it, right? And I think a lot of the times we take things very seriously with our desire and our libido. And when we invite like aspects of creativity and spaciousness and permission and invitation to our sexuality, and we think about our libido from a pleasure standpoint rather than like, okay, I have to have sex, I have to have an orgasm, this has to be this exact way. Like, if we just like take all of that off of the table and think about what would truly bring me pleasure right now in this moment? What is the thing that like I'm actually deeply desiring in terms of pleasure underneath of this? And we just follow that, you will notice that there is so much richness and so much aliveness and so much radiance in your sexuality. And maybe that it's not slumbering, but maybe it's just slumbering because of all of the expectations that we set on our bodies, on our pleasure, on our sex life, on our relationships, on our libidos. Like, we are not machines. We are incredible, wise, emotional, connected beings. And when we actually follow our deepest desires and our pleasure and what actually wants to come up, then there's just so much spaciousness within our sex life and so much permission as well.
Love that. And where could they find you?
Yes. Okay. So you can find me on my website at www.azariamenezes.com. I'm sure you'll link it down below. I also have a podcast called Getting Intimate, where I talk about all the juicy ways to get connected to your pleasure and all the fun things about your sex life. And you can find me on Instagram. I also have a private Facebook group called Getting Intimate. So I'm sure you'll link everything down below, but I'm easy to find.
Yes, everything will be below. And thank you, beauties, once again for joining me this week. I will be back next week and talk to you soon.